Gracious Father, this morning we ask that you open our hearts and minds that we may hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As Bonnie mentioned, throughout the past week, we've been looking at that last week of Jesus, of leading up to his death and resurrection. And we as a church throughout history have called that Holy Week, that goes from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. So technically it's got 8 days, but that's all good too. And so just a week ago, last Sunday, might not seem that it was only a week ago, but it was, we were celebrating Palm Sunday. You may have remembered Carmel had bought palm leaves. We had palm leaves up there in the back. And do you remember why Jesus rode in on the donkey? Why the people came out with palm leaves and put their clothes all across in front of him? Because they proclaimed him as King. He came as Israel's Messiah. He came as the one that they were waiting for, the one that they expected to fix things, to fix the corruption that there was in the temple, in their government, to kick out the Romans, to set up good government, to give the people all that they had long dreamed of. That Israel would be a superpower, and from out of Israel, all nations would come to know the Lord God. And in Jesus, they saw that this was the one who would do all this. But we know the story. It doesn't go the way people expect. It does go, as we have looked throughout this week, it does go the way God intended. Never think that Good Friday is a hiccup. Jesus, throughout his ministry, talks about how he is headed to the cross, that he is to go to Jerusalem, that he is to die and in 3 days live again. On Thursday, we saw that Jesus did a number of quite curious things. First of all, he washed feet, didn't he? The servant, the lowest person in the household, washed the feet. And we did point out on Thursday night that if you didn't have servants, and not everybody did, that's why you have children, isn't it? You know, those of you with kids, if you don't have servants, that's why you have children. And guess whose job it was to wash the feet? Not the eldest, the youngest. And so when someone visited you, you walked around in sandals and it was dusty. Part of showing good hospitality was that you would get your feet washed. It was not the position that a beloved teacher, it was not a role the head of the household did. You wouldn't see the dad strip down, get some water out of the towel and start washing feet. That would be seen as horrific. But that is what we see Jesus do. We also saw that during the meal, he took the bread and said, "This is my body." He took the cup and said, "This is my blood." He instituted Holy Communion, which we as followers of Jesus have continued to celebrate. And we saw that he was betrayed. On Friday, we saw he was nailed to the cross. He suffered a horrible, humiliating death. But more than the physical death was what happened to him spiritually. He became sin. He took your sin and my sin upon himself. Who put Jesus on the cross? Yes, The Jews, yes, the Romans, but most importantly, you and me, we put him up there. Our sin drove those nails into him. And as we heard in our children's talk, he did that willingly. He could have stopped it at any time because he was and is God. He had the power of the universe at his fingertips. But on the cross, he defeated sin, death, and the devil so that we who put our trust in him may have eternal life. And we looked at Friday, that's why we call it Good Friday. It's horrible that our Saviour had to do all that for us. It's wonderful that our Saviour did do all that for us. That's why it's both a happy and a sad day all at once. That is why we call it Good Friday. As we continue on from where we left things on Friday, Jesus was taken from the cross and laid in a tomb, wasn't he? As the sun was coming down, he was taken from the cross and laid in a tomb. He was dead and buried. We say that in our creeds, don't we? Suffered on the cross, dead and buried. He died. It's not a mistake. He didn't just pass out. If you remember the story that we read from John's Gospel, they shoved a spear in his side. I think if he was faking, he may have said something at that moment. He was dead and buried. He had gone through horrible torture and punishment. One of the things that the Romans were experts at, more so than we are today, was killing people. They knew dead, and Jesus was declared dead and buried. We saw on Friday that he had won, didn't we? That on the cross is Jesus' victory. John, throughout his gospel, talks about that Jesus needs to be exalted, lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross, and it is in that he defeats sin, death, and the devil. The victory has been won. But there's not celebration going on, is there? Jesus is dead and buried. How does anyone know that a victory has been won? We know because we're reading it in Scripture, but think about what it was like on the day. If this is such a cosmic victory, then all who put their trust in Jesus shall have life eternal, then how come this beacon of life lies dead and buried? And throughout the Saturday, he is in the tomb. Think of what the followers of Jesus went through throughout that Friday night, throughout that Saturday, throughout that Saturday night. These are men and women who had put their trust in Jesus. They may not have always understood what he was saying. And guess what? I still have trouble always understanding what he's saying, don't we? They may not have always understood, but they had put their trust in him. They had turned away from businesses, turned away from family, and followed Jesus. Can you imagine how shattered their world was? The Saturday, of course, in their custom, was a Sabbath and no work could be done. I think you can imagine what the women would have been like during that day, waiting for the sun to set on the Saturday so that they could do preparations to give Jesus the honour and respect. He had died, but they would show him in death how much they loved him, how much they cared for him. And you can imagine on that Saturday as the sun set, the ladies getting together and getting to work. I would be very surprised if any of them slept that night. And so their world is shattered. Jesus, who had promised so much, is now dead and buried. As sunrise approaches on the Sunday morning, the women head towards the tomb. And when all seems lost, we know what happens next, don't we? The resurrection. Here is the proof of Christ's victory. Here is the proof that death has lost its sting. The grave could not hold him. Our Heavenly Father raised Jesus from the dead. This is the resurrection. We heard in the epistle reading, which comes from 1 Corinthians 15. If you read that whole chapter, that's a marvellous chapter on the resurrection. And I recommend that you sit down and read that chapter to get a real feel of the resurrection and how important it is. Paul says that if the resurrection didn't happen, if there was not a literal resurrection of Jesus coming back to life, walking around, having meals with people, then Paul says Christianity is a joke. Give up on it now. Go find something else to do with your life. That is how important the resurrection is, because it shows, it proves all that Christ has done on the cross. It is essential. As many Christian leaders have said throughout church history, disprove the resurrection and I'll give up my faith. Because it is in that that ties it all together. That's our rock, if you like, at the centre. Let's just see what we're talking about when it comes to the resurrection. First, let's be clear. We're not talking about just resuscitation. We saw in Jesus' ministry, and if you know your Old Testament, you know that also in Elijah and Elisha's time, there were miracles of people being brought back to life. There's a number of those. There are people around today that can share stories very similar to these sort of stories, when they have been dead, they have been declared dead, and they have come back to life. The real big one in Scripture is the one in John's Gospel, the raising of Lazarus. Why was that so big? Because he'd been dead 4 days. That's the longest dead. And by then, no one has hope. But what I'm saying is all those things that are happening are not what we're talking about on this Sunday morning. We're not talking about that Jesus came back to life and he lived out of the grave. No. We're talking in the resurrection something different. We heard in the epistle reading that the resurrection is the first fruits, that first Jesus and then later when he comes back the rest of us. This is something different. Those who were brought back to life before Jesus all died again. They came back and they just came back as us. They lived life as we lived. They got colds. They eventually died, be it of old age or of an accident or whatever else. Those things aren't recorded for us. But no one thinks that they continued forever. Jesus was different. We're not talking just about resuscitation. We are saying that it is bodily. Jesus was physical. We're not talking about a ghost. We're not talking about dreams. When we do the Christmas story and we look at Joseph, we see that Jesus' dad, that all every time the angel visits him, it's actually in a dream, isn't it? It's real, it's happening, but it's a dream. And he follows what the angel tells him to do in that dream. We are not saying that. Scripture is not saying that the disciples had a nice dream that Jesus gave that. Once again, this is a reason to read 1 Corinthians 15. It goes through and lists all the individuals, including great swaths of people, who all saw Jesus. He made breakfast. He sat. He ate. But there is something different. It involves a body, but it's a glorified body. It's the body that we ourselves will receive in the resurrection that is yet to come. Remember that first fruits? Jesus is the first of what is to come. It is almost, I find as you're reading the story, almost as though Jesus is a bit out of focus. You know, he walks with the people, the two people on the road to Emmaus, and they talk with him for ages about all the bad stuff that has happened to Jesus, and he's having a good discussion with them. We have that great Bible study where he explains that the whole Old Testament is about him, but they don't realise it's him. It's as though they don't properly see him. He's there, he's walking, he's talking, but it's almost as though he's just out of focus. It's not till he sits down with them and breaks bread that they see who he is. We have the disciples so scared that the Romans or the temple guards are going to arrest them because of what they did to Jesus. What often happens is they then go after the lieutenants, don't they, and do something similar. So when they say they are in a locked room, you can be assured it's one of those rooms, you know, you often see on TV shows, or maybe you have one, where there's some four or five locks. They've probably got a chair next to the door. And then we're told, and this happens more than once, that Jesus appears in the middle of the room. So it's bodily, but it's different. And it is the start of the life to come. You see in the story of Lazarus, when Jesus comes up to Martha, he says to her, basically, that Lazarus is going to live. And Martha dismisses him by saying, yes, I know all about the resurrection. This is something that good Jewish people believed in Jesus' time, that at the end of the age, when God will put everything right, when God fixes all the problems, that those who believed in him, those who were faithful Jews, would be resurrected and brought into the new kingdom. We heard in the Old Testament reading, in Isaiah, that Neil read, that's the new kingdom that they're looking forward to. One where, remember it said that if you died at 100, something's really wrong with you? Animals not eating each other, this peaceful picture that was given, that's what it's looking forward to. And hopefully, as you heard those words from Isaiah talking about the new heaven and the new earth, some of you at least also thought, I've heard that somewhere before. Not in the Old Testament, but at the end of the New Testament. Revelation finishes with, after the resurrection, the new heaven and the new earth. With Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that God has created, coming down to the earth and God resting with us. This is the future that Jesus has won for all who follow him. Death hasn't just lost its sting. We're at a stage where, what does it matter? When I go from this world, I go to be with Jesus, and we stay and think about all your loved ones, all those you know who have followed Jesus and are no longer with us. They are with him. We are promised that he will never leave us. They are with him, and they are waiting, just like we are waiting, for his return. And in that return, the resurrection, when we all have new bodies, body and soul, together. When we have our new kingdom, when heaven comes to earth, in this new heaven and earth. Paul says, for as in Adam all die. That basically sums up the Old Testament, doesn't it? God created a perfect world, well, a very good world, put us in it, created us without sin, created man and woman, created marriage, created family, gave us good, healthy work to do. We were in a wonderful relationship with God. We're told that in the cool of the evening or the cool of the afternoon, God would come and walk with them. They would have perfect relationship with God, their Father, and they would chat together every day. And we wrecked it all. We listened to the evil one. We took the fruit. Through one man, all die. And you may say, how is that fair? How is it fair that all live because of one man? God steps in. I like to say that as the Bible points out the great problems we have because of our sin, because of us wanting to do things our own way, many times we turn our backs on God and follow and desire to be all that we can be in our own steam. And we find ourselves in awful messes. The Bible talks about those sort of things all the time. But in the midst of those, we have but God moments. Our God is not one who stands at a distance. He gets involved. As it all seemed lost to those followers of Jesus on that Saturday, as Jesus was dead and buried, but God raised him from the dead. As we were all suffering in our sin, as we all realised that we could not fix ourselves, that we could not reach God, but God sent Jesus. So in him all will be made alive. It is through our Lord Jesus Christ that we have so, so much. We have life eternal. That's a thing we have now. John's first letter talks all about that. Yes, it is a to come. There's a new heaven and a new earth to come. There's lots of great stuff in the future, but it's all ours now in Christ Jesus, isn't it? We are daughters and sons of the Most High God because of Jesus. We have peace with God. We know that God hears our prayers because of Jesus. As you go out into the rest of this day, into the rest of this week, year, however long you have, keep following Jesus. Keep celebrating all that he has done for you. And whenever you have doubts about how much God loves you, remember Jesus. Remember his death and resurrection. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. As we have the next